You might like to turn in your Bible to the first epistle of John, and in chapter 3. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we bow head and heart in your presence even now. God, all that's happening all over forever, God, and you're able to pay wonderful, full attention to here we are in the light of everything everywhere. Oh, God, thanks. So deal with us. I'm going to thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. In our exercise of the first epistle of John, as we've been looking at it, and God has given the first epistle in the light of the Gospel of John in order to, what, practice, to experience the full benefit of Christ being born in Bethlehem and going to Calvary's cross, and to reap the full benefits thereof in every way, shape, and form. And God paid an awesome price. It cost him, as in his Son, to die. So therefore, as we look to God and deal with our heads and hearts, God wants us to understand God meant for you and I, for every human being, to understand and enjoy and experience that which God has made possible, a unique, personal identification with his wonderful person in an awesome way that brings heaven into our heart and brings our heart into God's heaven all at once. Now, so therefore, and 1 John is being opposed as it comes to the end of the first century. And it comes to the end, and the people are saying all kinds of things, thinking all kinds of different ways. Well, maybe God really didn't mean all that. And God didn't make that happen. On the contrary, it is real and meant to be enjoyed. So 1 John is written to drive home to the heart that awesome truth that God has made it really, really true for you to be saved. To be saved, not just saying to save it, to say you're saved is easy. To enjoy God's personal being in your personal life. That's what it is to be saved. So, having said that and thinking and understanding that, so here's 1 John, and we share together. He's trying to drive home, Spirit of God is, trying to drive home that we're saved, and we need to evidence. God's Word says we're saved, but you need to experience and know that you're saved to have full assurance of faith. You need to know you're saved personally. You know, to know you're in the body, you know you're alive, to know you're saved. Now, so therefore, as we looked at it, and God said, and going down if I can, into verse 19, and hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. So God wants us to know that we are truly, truly saved. And now, all of that is in the light of the fact of what we share together. Verse 14, I'm going to take the end, We know that we have passed from death unto life. Why? Because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. So what do we know? First, we know. So since we know that we're loving the brethren, loving the body, Why are we loving the body as we did all these things? Loving the body. When you receive Christ as your Savior, Christ brought you, Spirit of God, put you in his body. So in a relationship, head-body relationship. And God did that. So when he did that, and you received Christ as your Savior, you became part of his body. And Christ in your heart, right now, is loving all his body. Right now, Christ in your heart and mine is loving all of his body all over the world, wherever believers are. Why? Because they're in his body just like you is, and I am. So he's loving his body in you. And therefore, and when you came to know the Lord as your Savior, when a different way to say it, God put you in his body, 1 Corinthians 12, pushed you, identified you into his body. So when you did that, you became part of the body, and you became part of all the parts of the body. Now, so when you enter the body, when, do a different way. If you had a liver transplant, the liver is very important part of your body, and the liver, and you're going to put the liver in, and you have the liver in your in the liver jar, and you have it there. Here's the liver, and you're going to go to the liver. Now you're going to tell the liver is going to be put into the body, and you have to tell the liver to understand that it has an assignment to do all of its 100 different things, but it is to be wonderfully, this liver that goes in your body is to make sure it understands it's part of the body. And the liver is responsible to be concerned about your pancreas, your kidneys, your lungs. It's responsible. Don't put that liver in unless it's going to be responsible to all the parts of the body. That's what you're doing. So when you got saved, God put you into his body in a wonderful way. And in his body, you have to be understood. You're part of the body. You aren't the body. You're a part of the body. And every other part, and all of your 12 systems and all of that, all of these systems that are working inside of you right now, in your life and my life, they are wonderfully, harmoniously complementing and caring for each other, are they not? Everything is watching, filtering, changing, water, fluids, blood count, white count, blue count, green count, all the different counts, all of it's doing. That's what it's doing. Thousands of seconds, miles, can't even begin to talk about it. Your body's doing that. The liver has to be responsible to the rest. Don't put the liver in unless it's going to care. When you get saved, what are you saying, God? Verse 14, when you get saved, God saves you into his body. Christ is in you, is concerned about all of his body. He's concerned about all believers. And we did all these things so you don't get hung up trying to understand this in the wrong way. But just to remind you, God wants us to be able to go and thus love the brethren. Love the body. Not love anybody. Love the brethren. You can't love the brethren that aren't in fellowship. They have to be in fellowship to enjoy the relationship. Believers everywhere, all over the place, but they aren't in fellowship. They aren't in fellowship, you don't enjoy it. You can only enjoy the same life in the same way from the same Lord, and you have to have the same life. So you have to have that. Now, so that would be an experience. You'd be, yes, I love the brethren. I love being saved. I love being saved. I love all that are saved. They're all part of my body. I belong in the body. I belong to Christ. That doesn't mean a silly, wrong kind of love. It's God's keeping a healthy, holy, and happy relationship to God, and doing that in a healthy way, not an unhealthy way, a good way. Now, secondly, and we share together down in verse 16, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. And so therefore, what are we doing? We're going to go, and we care the brethren, and we do that. We do that because every part of the body, if you have a problem with some part of your body, and do you know all the rest of the body is going to be conscious of it, and all the rest of the body is going to be conscious of trying to make up the difference and fulfill in whatever it can to compensate for a sick part of the body, a part of the body that isn't functioning good, all the rest of the electronic system and everything, all of that has to work together to try to help. That's just normal. So in the body, we care about the body, and we care about healthy believers being healthy, and it's a concern to us. So we do. We love the brethren. We lay down our lives. Now, we can't die, and we shared all that, but we can be a living sacrifice. In other words, we're committed. The liver is committed to the body. When you get saved, you're committed to Christ and the body. That's just the way it is, the way it's supposed to be. And that's an evidence. Thirdly, verse 18. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Don't just be talk it. You can talk a lot of things. I love you. Say a lot of things. Talk it. Easy to say things. Sure it is. No, be real. We shared all this last time. Be real. Don't just talk. Yeah, we love the brethren. We sing, blessed be the tie that binds. But No, that's just talk. God said, I don't want any talk. You have to be real. Be real, indeed and in truth. Not just say something and say it because people want to hear it. No, to do it for real. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping in mind, other words, to be in the truth, John 14:6, the Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So we're to be in the truth, and by the truth, the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry, which we shared in Sunday school again, the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry, he's the Spirit of truth. That's what he is, the Spirit of truth. He has all the truth. So what do we have? Well, we're in the truth. God gives us by the truth. We're going by the truth and for the truth. You cannot, the Gospel of John, chapter 4, they that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. Truth. That's what we need to have. So when you came to the end of verse 18, indeed and in truth. Now, verse 19. Hereby we know that we are in the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. Just gave you the little outline. If you know these things, you know you're saved. You know you're saved. Not only does the scripture say so, God says so, and your evidence in your own life, you know you're different. You know it's different for you now. And therefore, in verse 19, and to assure our hearts before him. The word assure is the verb to be persuaded, to be influenced by words, to be persuaded, to have assurance, to be so influenced that you're tranquilized. That's it. You're at peace. So you have insurance. In verse 19, and shall assure our hearts before him. Now, having said that, verse 20, the reason The reason for this assurance, what is the insurance to be persuaded, to be tranquilized, etc.? Verse 20, if our heart condemn us not, greater is God than our heart and knoweth all things. So here we are looking to God and going to get the assurance in verse 19. You go to verse 26, and in verse 26 is going to give you a reason. Why? Why? Because why do we have this assurance? Why do we know are you really saved? You know you're really saved. Now, why? Verse 20, if our heart condemn us, God is greater than verse 20. If our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. So, in the process, if our heart condemns us, and our heart does condemn us, it does. We go along, and now we do things. The heart, the conscience. When you think of the word heart in this case, just think of it like a scale, conscience. That's what conscience is, your conscience, like a scale. And the scale has to function. The scale has to function. So what? So as we, and you know, Philippians 2:12, work out your own salvation. You don't work out anybody else's. You can't speak. You can't make real in a person's life. The only reality you can make real is your own. You can't do anybody else's. You have to have life. You have to have the relationship. Without it, it ain't going anywhere. And you don't have it. No. God has to help us. So, in the process, we have to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, Philippians chapter 2. So, in the process, it may or may not be true, our heart condemns us to speak against us, to speak ill of us. Our heart condemns us. It condemns us. Think of the conscience again. Conscience, your heart condemns us. It condemns us. We're guilty. That's guilt, conscience working. So the conscience does what it does and makes us the scale. So when it speaks against us, it's a good thing. But we're guilty. So what do we need to do? We need to know and keep in mind 1 John chapter 1. And in 1 John chapter 1, and what are we going to do when our heart condemns us? God's going to go, and if the 1 John chapter 1, verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we don't have the root of sin, our old sin nature, if we say that, then we're kidding ourselves. We do have one old nature, and it never goes away till God takes us home. So we have that old nature, and we deceive ourselves. Verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So we have the heart's going to condemn us. Now what are we going to do when the heart condemns us? What do we need to know? God is going to condemn us, and we're guilty as can be. So God, we've got to look to you to deal with our heads and our hearts. And verse 9, while you're looking at it, verse chapter 1, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we have to say, but if we don't see it and don't say it, and we just get it, just feel guilty, we feel bad, but we didn't fix it. We need to get to God to fix it so that it's done with it. Now, why is it going to be done? Because Christ died on the cross, chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate, a lawyer, a defense attorney. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He's our defense attorney. Verse 2, he is the propitiation, the satisfaction for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So when we get condemned in our heart, and our heart condemns us, then we get pricked in our heart and cut to the heart, etc. We have the Spirit of God, Galatians 5:17, makes for a conflict because we try to do and be different than what God wants us to be. And so we have to go through that in an awesome, awesome way. And you read it, go over there to 1 Corinthians. And you read it this in the reading. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And you will note chapter 11. And when you get down to, in the light of communion and taking that in the right mood and manner, chapter 11, 1 Corinthians 11, sliding if I can in the light of context, verse 31. Verse 30. For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. That means they died. Verse 31. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. So God gives us, as if we confess our sin, God does it. In other words, you can take care of your own cleanup. But if you don't take care of it, it piles up. And then you got it in the heart, and you're condemned, you're guilty, what's the sense? It won't work. It never worked for me. And you don't do anything. You don't do anything. Just stay there. You don't have to do that. So if you're really saved, and you have that, and then you want to enjoy being saved. So when you come to verse 31, if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. We should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened, disciplined of the Lord. Why? That we should not be condemned with the world. So God saves us. So we don't have to be that way. We're saved. We ought to enjoy being saved. But if our heart condemns us, how do we enjoy being saved? Well, we don't enjoy being saved. We need to. Another piece that will help, over to 1 Timothy. And in 1 Timothy chapter 4, and you will note, chapter 4, picking up, please, in verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly in the latter time, this time, some shall depart from the faith, the body of truth that is to be believed, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. One devil, many demons. Speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, cauterized. In other words, if you put that on, it becomes insensitive. It's burned, make it. It's the scale, back to the scale, conscience, the scale. It's supposed to have the right God's word over here so you can weigh everything. But if you lose God's word over here and your conscience is here, you have nothing to weigh by, nothing to weigh. And we get our conscience seared. Our scale is messed up. And people have that. You have to ask, how could people do that? Because the scale isn't even, isn't where it should be. And they're giving him they have the wrong information to weigh, the wrong understanding about whatever it is. So they do things all based on their own understanding, their thinking, their feeling, their fears. They base it on that. And that's what they do. And it comes out wrong. The scale, see it. So we get it tied up with different thoughts and different thinking in different ways. And it louses up our thinking. So when our thinking's all loused up, we aren't coming up with the right answers. And our conscience is seared. Our heart condemns us, but we can't fix it because we don't see the problem. We need to come to God, to Calvary's cross, to get it straightened out. So therefore, as you go and consider all this, so the dead, so God, what are we going to do? So the wrong darkness doesn't want light, and light hates darkness. So therefore, the conscience, the umpire of your soul, that's conscience. Now, umpires are good with sports, and you need them for different things. And the sports, baseball, whatever it is, and the football, whatever you want to talk about, an umpire is good. Now, an umpire is an umpire, that's all. And they try to call the shots as they are, as they see them. And they try to see them. That's your conscience. And they're like the umpire. And we try. And umpires can be wrong. The umpire says it's a strike when it really isn't a strike. They did something wrong in the football field, but he really didn't do it wrong. You're holding. But though I really didn't hold, you see, the umpire's wrong. Seared conscience. See it. So God, what are you going to do? What are we going to do then? We got to do something, God. How do we fix it? God, we're going to keep staying in this rut and we don't go anywhere around and around. So God, you got to help us. So therefore, 1 John. And in 1 John, picking up, please. In chapter 3. So God has to help us to do it, to handle it. So, therefore, we go, chapter 3, going to verse 20. If our heart condemn us, and it may, if our heart condemn us, and it can, the scale gets wrong, the scale doesn't come out good, and the conscience, which is trying to help you know right and wrong, good and bad, but the scale isn't a good scale. The conscience is distorted and not weighing. It isn't coming out with the right answers. That's why people can do awful things and keep doing awful things because the scale, they never fix it. They never fix it. So, chapter 3 and in verse 4, verse 20. For if the heart condemns us, God is greater than our hearts and knoweth all things. But he's greater than our heart. Well, how can God be greater than our heart? Well, God is greater. And God is greater than the heart. God isn't going by the heart. God knows our old sin nature. You'll see that over, if I can, over to Psalm 103. Nice little way to see that. Psalm 103. God knows our heart. And Psalm 103, picking up if I may. And you'll note. And may pick it up, please. Oh, right in the as you go down this, as you read Psalm 103, you go to verse 10. He hath not dealt with us after our sins. Our conscience condemns us. But he isn't dealing with you based on your conscience. He isn't dealing with us based on who we are, how we think. God isn't doing that. Christ crucified us and took us to the cross, and we're to count ourselves dead. So we aren't having to sit and play with this for 25 years. We got it. It's finished. God hath not dealt with us after our sins. No, Christ died and took our sins. You didn't ask him to take your sins. I didn't ask him to take my sins. He took our sins in his own body, all by his lonesome. He did it all by himself. Never asked you or me or anything. He did that for us. and he died. Then he turns around to us dead people, spiritually dead, and offers us life. And all we have to do is believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's all we had to do. God said, I took care of it. You didn't even understand it. You didn't even understand the consequences of it. I took care of it. Now believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. So, verse 11, chapter 103, 11. For as the heavens, heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame from head to toe. He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as the grass, as a flower in the field of the field, so it flourisheth. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting, everlasting, unto them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. God, you know we're dust. God said, I know your conscience is lousing you up, and you don't have it. But if our heart, 1 John 3, if our heart condemns us, and we're down in the dumps, what do you know? God isn't going by your conscience or your heart. He's going by the work of our Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. And that's what you trusted in to get saved. You trusted God to save you. That's what you did. He's the Savior. You and I are not saving anything. We're dead. We're lifeless, hopeless, apart from God. God did it. So what are we doing? Like, we're waking up to the fact that God, we don't do it. God, if our heart condemn us, what did you say? Verse 21, 20, et cetera. If your heart condemn you, I'll go back over there. Verse John. And in 1 John and 21. Beloved, if our heart condemn us, and it may or may not, condemn us, if our heart condemn us not, verse 21. Which I'll do it myself. Get over there. 1 John and in chapter 3, verse 21. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, if it doesn't condemn us, be glad. Walk in the light as he is in the light, 1 John 1, 7. Walk in the light as he is in the light. The blood of Jesus Christ is cleansing you from all sin, 1 John 1, 7. Cleansing you, keeping you clean, just like your eye. Your eye is washing itself. Every little bit, every time, washing. The blood of Jesus Christ is cleansing. That's what it does. It cleanses. 1 John 1, 7. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ continues to cleanse us from all sin. And then we confess our sin. So God, when we're comfortable, we don't have to sit and beat ourselves and try to find something to think about or worry about. No, we're just going to relax and enjoy our trip through time, trusting God, eating, drinking, coming, going, doing work, school, home, whatever you do, and trusting God with thanksgiving, and just stay in fellowship. 1 John 1, 3, stay in fellowship. Enjoy the fellowship. Exercise the fellowship. But If your heart does condemn you and you can't get out, God is greater than your heart. God is wonderfully greater than your heart in a wonderful way. And so God's able to save you in a wonderful way. So therefore, God, what are you going to do? God's going to save us. He saves us not by our conscience and not by our old nature. God saves us by his wonderful saving grace. And he does a wonderful work in our head and in our heart. And he died to make it all real. So therefore, God, verse 20, beloved, if our heart condemns us, doesn't condemn us, we have confidence before God. We're free, fearless, looking to God comfortably, looking to God as we get down the corridor of time. But, if our heart condemns us, what are we going to do? Beloved, if our heart condemns us not, verse 21. But if our heart condemn us not, we have confidence toward God. So therefore, God is greater than our heart. So if our heart doesn't condemn us, relax. If our heart does condemn us, understand you're being saved. Why are you saved? Because Jesus Christ died on the cross to save us in a wonderful way. So the reason you're saved is because you're believing and resting in God's saving work in his wonderful person, Christ Jesus our Lord. And he saves us in a most wonderful, wonderful way. He does. That's why you're saved. And if you're saved, you're really saved. If you receive the Son, no matter what your conscience does and your sin nature, it's all there. If you really receive Christ as your Savior, you're really, really saved. You have to be saved. Because God saved you. And God didn't save you now. And so your sin, when you came to know the Lord as your Savior, how much would God find in your life that was worth saving? How much would he find? You were totally zero before you were saved. You couldn't get worse if you tried to get worser. You couldn't do it. You're already bad, sinner. So when God saves us, that's when he saves us. And he saves us in a wonderful way. Now that you're saved, and then we sin. It's an awful thing I just did. I shouldn't have done that. All may be. But what I just did or said or whatever is nothing. When God saved me, totally, when there was nothing good in me. And now I just did something that broke my fellowship. And I think it's horrible. But it has no comparison to the day I came to know the Lord as my Savior. He saved me from head to toe. He did it. I didn't do it. He did it. And I rest in that. So it doesn't matter what my dumb heart thinks or my old nature does. I'm going to be saved. Why am I going to be saved? Because Christ died on the cross and I received him as my Savior. That's why you're saved. You can't be unsaved. God isn't going in and out. It's not done. No. So therefore, verse 21, if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. God knows. And if our heart doesn't condemn us, then relax. Don't try to find something. Don't try to go and find something that you think you should confess. No, just relax. Enough of it will come up without you working at it. So don't even work at it. Just thank God. Relax, God, and be what? Tranquilized. Tranquilized. Assurance. Assurance. Tranquilized. Persuaded. I'm comfortable, God. I got the old nature. It isn't going to go away. No. So you took care of it. Yes, he did. So I don't have to sweat or do anything. So I'm going to be saved, and I'm going to recover. Why? Because I'm reckoning What am I doing? If our heart doesn't condemn us, God is, if our heart does condemn us, God is greater than our heart. He takes care of the umpires, the empire. Your conscience says something, but God isn't going to go by your, that. God speaks, and all the fans and everyone is comfortable because it speaks to you. What they'll have pretty soon is artificial intelligence umpires. That's what they'll have, artificial intelligence empires. And what they'll do, and the artificial intelligence, just kidding. And they push the button. And who's going to argue with artificial intelligence, right? I mean, who's going to argue with it? We don't do that. So God, what are you going to do? You're going to do a wonderful thing in our little head and heart. And whatsoever we ask, verse 22, whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. So God, what are we going to do? We're going to go and be comfortable and look to you. Whatever we ask, you're going to take care of it in your most wonderful, whatever we're asking. Anything, everything we ask, God is going to go. And present tense, asking, desire, to ask, to desire of his will. So God, we want your will in your way, in your time, in your wonderful way of doing things. So God, that's what we're looking for. Your will to be outworked in your way. Over, if I can, over to the Gospel of John. In the Gospel of John, chapter 14. And you'll note, hope you got it. Do you understand? I'm trying to help understand. You're saved because God saves you, if you're going to be saved. And doesn't, you don't, he just does it because you received him as your Savior and believe that he took your body, yourself, to Calvary's cross and pardoned your sin and purchased you. And you're bought with a price. Now, the outworking of all of that is what we're looking at. Now, so here, John chapter 14, verse 13. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father might be glorified in the Son. If you, verse 14, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. That doesn't mean you can ask anything and get anything. No, it isn't that. Our Lord Jesus, perfect example, did what? He didn't, it wasn't his will. It was God's will that had to be outworked in the perfect humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ. God's will had to be outworked. God's will. And therefore, whatever you ask in my name, you want my honor, God said, and my glory, you ask it in my name. And you have it. That's what I want. God's will for your life, God's will for your heart. That's what you want. God's will. Uh-huh. And so whatever you ask in my name, you have it. Ephesians 2:10. For those meaning, Ephesians 2:10. And you'll notice, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. In the light of the context, chapter 2, verse 10, I'll read verse 9, not by works, lest any man should boast, nothing about us. Verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, new creatures in Christ, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. God has a wonderful plan. We've said it 7,000 times to ourselves. What's the plan? Before you were ever created, the reason you are created on planet Earth is because God had you in his mind and had a wonderful plan for your life. Sin came along and you lost that plan, that relationship. Christ came along and died to make that relationship and plan real. So when you receive him as your Savior, his saving work, his wonderful workmanship is going to outwork and restore and bring to you the wonderful reason you're created on planet Earth in the first place, to be able to live and enjoy God's awesome person. And so therefore, as we're alive on planet Earth, we're going to see God outwork his good working. So therefore, without doing everything, you know, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. Whatever you do, do it heartily unto the Lord. Always honoring the Lord. That's right. Whatever you ask, I want your will, God. You have a wonderful plan. Tomorrow, I haven't got there yet. But God, you're already there. You already have it. I want to be able to walk in your wonderful will of why I'm on planet Earth in the first place, that I want to enjoy a unique relationship to you, to bear witness as light bears witness to the darkness. I want to be a channel, a testimony to your saving grace in an unsaved world. I want to be a testimony to God. So whatever, God, your wonderful plan, I go to work, I go to school, I take my medicine, do whatever you do, the way you do it, trusting God, everyone has all the different things they have to do, the way they have to do them, and you do them, trusting God and thanking God with all your heart as you do them. And God makes up the difference. And God said, I have a wonderful plan. I want you to ask. Over in closing, over if I can, over to 1 John again. And in 1 John, and in chapter 5, as you know, 1 John chapter 5, picking up if I may. Chapter 5, I'll read verse 13, verse 12. So you see it all come together. 1 John 5:12. He that hath the Son hath life. Receive the Lord Jesus Christ, life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. No Christ in your heart, no life. Verse 13, why are you saying all this? These things have I written so I can read them and know them and understand them. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life, and that you may believe in the name of the Son of God. If your heart condemns you, God is greater than your heart. God said, God did, God said, God is doing. Therefore, verse 14, this is the confidence, the boldness, free, frank is the word, boldness. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, not just any old thing. You want God's will for your life, at work, at home, at school, sickness, health. That's what you want. Asking anything, if you ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And, verse 15, and if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know, what do we know? That we have the petitions that we desire of him. You want God's will tomorrow? And you want God's word, you're going to trust God for it, you're going to go for it, you're going to believe, stay in fellowship, walk in the light as he is in the light, and the blood of Jesus Christ is cleansing you. You got your old nature, but that isn't an issue because God's taking care of it. God's taking care of it. And you get down the corridor and you want God's will, that's what you want. And you're going to go. You set apart the food, which you eat, you do all kinds of things. And God helps you. You want God's will outworked in your life. And God's going to do it. So don't let, keep your conscience, keep the scale, keep God and his word on one side so you always know when it's how to fix everything. Otherwise, the empire, the conscience, your old nature tells you things. You shouldn't do that, or you were right when you're wrong. You know, I'm right. Oh, no, you may be wrong. So what are you doing? You aren't trusting your conscience, good or bad. You're going to trust God and enjoy the trip. That's what you're going to do. And you have to, you know, when we're all done, we're back to God, thanking God for his presence and his saving grace to help us, God. Because if we go by little thoughts, our thoughts are all over the place, all over the place. We think, and people say, and people said, no, when it's all done as we should. It isn't about what people think. It's what did God say? What is the recipe saying? Read the recipe. Read the words. That's where you're safe. I can tell you a whole lot of things, but what you need to know is, what does it say? What does it say? That's what God's going to do. God gave his word. He said his word. Psalm 138, he's committed to his word above his name. He will honor that. All the promises of God in him, in Christ, in you, are yes and amen. All the promises. You got them. So you're looking to God to outwork his wonderful will in your life. And it's all about that relationship. But you need to have a real relationship to enjoy and have a real experience that's legit. It fits. It helps us here and gets us there. Our Father and God, we thank you for your kindness and as we stumble through all these things. So help us in every way, God, to get a handle on something so simple and so wonderful. Truth. And the truth will set us free. Thank you very, very, very much. In Christ's name, amen.